And we're holding on Mem Ches Amud Aleph, the third line of the wide lines. We left off like this. We're still in the middle of discussing the machlokas of Rabba and Rav Chista about hoyil. We started with the question, if a person bakes on Yom Tov food, which is going to be eaten on a weekday because he already ate his Yom Tov meal and he doesn't have any guests coming, guests might show up, but right now he doesn't have any. Then Rav Chista had said he's getting Malkus because he's being over on the issue of cooking on Yom Tov and it's not Letzorech Yom Tov. And Rabba says, I agree, you're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov, Letzorech Hoyil, but since over here you can say Hoyil, that you can say that guests might show up and therefore they're going to be able to eat it, then you can't give them malchus for that. So we've been discussing all the back and forth about that, various proofs, whether we do or don't say hoyo. The last one we said was Abaya pointed out to Rabba that you have a case involving a person who cooks a gidan nosha in milk and eats it on Yom Tov. So we said he's over on five lavim and therefore he's getting five malchus. But one of those things in the Braisa was, or Mishnah actually it is that he made a fire. So the question is that based on the concept of hoyil, he could use the fire for something else, which is mutter. So Rabba had tried saying, okay, it's not take out that and put it instead that it was a gidanosha of nevela. That doesn't work because Rav Chiya summarized that we're talking about three things involving the cooking and two involving the eating, and that would throw off the count. So Rabba tried that maybe we're talking about the wood was mukta and the issur on that is daraisa, and we shot that down as well. Good morning, Avraham Moshe. We shot that down as well. We said that if mukta was daraisa, then you wouldn't be able to bring, if you had an animal that was mukta, you wouldn't be able to bring it as a korban on Yom Tov, even b'diyevet, and yet a braisa tells us that you're not supposed to, but if you did b'diyevet, then it is a kosher to korban, because it is considered mimashke yisrael, it is considered something that Jews will eat. So also, Abaya pointed out that if you, regardless with anything that we would say where you have two different Isurim of Yom Tov in that Mishnah, whether we say that the first one is cooking and the second one is making the fire, or whether we say that the first one is cooking and the second one is using wood that was Mukta, either way, you have two things of Yom Tov, and Rabba himself holds that that a person doesn't get Malkus for multiple violations of Yom Tov. With Shabbos, if a person does multiple Malachas Mehel Mechad, that he's bringing multiple chatois, but Rabba says with Yom Tov it's not like that. If a person does multiple malachas which with Hasra, then he's only getting one malchus, and that covers all of them. So therefore, Abaya says to Rabba, how are you going to understand that? How are you going to understand that Mishnah? Now, if we went according to Rav Chista and said we don't say hoyil, then there's no problem. There's no hoyil, so therefore you can leave. You can leave Havara in there. You can leave making a fire because you could use the fire for something else, but that doesn't matter. Right now, you started that fire for the purpose of cooking the Gidan Nosha in milk. Rav Chista doesn't have to hold that Ein Chiluk Malachas the Yom Tov. He could hold that just like with Shabbos, there's separate Chatois, so with Yom Tov, there's separate Malkus. But according to Rabba, who holds of hoyil, so that should take out havara, and B, whatever else we would want to put in Yom Tov related is going to have the thing of Ein Chiluk Malachas the Yom Tov. So Abaya says to Rabba, how are you going to understand that Mishnah then? So the Gemara says, okay, Ella Apik Havara. So third line of the wide lines on Mem Ches Amud Aleph. Ella Apik Havara of Ayel Atzei Asherah. Okay, so the answer is take out Havara because of these problems. Put in instead that the fifth Isser that he's Chayav Malkus for is that he used wood from an Asherah tree for this fire, for this cooking. Vazhara mehacha, and the warning in the Torah, which makes it a lav, which makes a person subject to malchus for it, is because the pasuk says, "V'lo yidbak biyodcha mu'umim en acherim." Nothing of the banned thing should remain in your possession. Now, the Rambam explains in Sefer HaMitzvahs and in Yad HaChazaka that primarily that talks about the stuff from an irani dachas, but in a broader sense, it includes anything from avodah zara, which is also b'hana. So, therefore, he's over on that. So in that case, Rav Acha Bre D'Rava says to Abaya, well, once we're saying that, when he's using wood of Avodah Zarah, then there should be another Malkus. Shouldn't he also get Malkus for the fact that the Pasuk says you should not bring the disgusting thing Avodah Zarah into your house? Now, it doesn't literally mean bringing into his house, because otherwise the Gemara could have answered very easily that we're not talking about where he's bringing it into his house. But the Sefer HaChinuch, for example, so the Rambam just writes based on our Gemara that if a person uses, for example, wood of an Asherah or any kind of thing of Avodah Zarah, he's getting two malchus, one for each of these things, v'lo yidbak b'yodcha and v'lo yisavi seyeva. The Sefer HaChinuch explains there's a slight distinction between them. And according to the Rambam, there has to be, by the way, because we've talked about before that the Rambam says that a person doesn't get extra malchus just because the Torah repeats an Isser in different words. So the Sefer HaChinuch explains that loisavi se'eva, a person is over as soon as he brings it into his reshus, intending to have hanah from it. And then lo yudbak b'yadcha, mo'men acherim, is when he actually uses it. Whatever the case, the point is, so then Rav Acha Brei D'Rava is saying, if you're going to say that we're talking about atzei asherah, then you have six, you have six things. Ella apik havara va'ayil atzei hekdesh. Rather, the answer is we can take out havara and instead we can put in that he used wood, of hekdesh to make the fire. Vazhara mehacha, in which case, where is he told that he's not allowed to be destroying something of hekdesh? And in this case, it's considered destroying because after all, he's using it to cook something which is also to eat. And the pasuk says, Vashireyem tisrifun ba'esh. The pasuk says you should burn the asherus in fire, and the next pasuk continues loy sasu chen laHashem alekechem. You should not do like that to Hashem, which is where we learn the concept of not erasing Hashem's name and not destroying things of kedusha and so forth. So in this case, this person is being over on that mitzvah, on that lav that he destroyed something that belongs to Hashem, and therefore that can make him chayev malchus. So that would be the last one then. Tosfos in this Gemara is also in Makkos. So Tosfos over there and some of the Mefoshim over here point out, why don't we also say that he's chayev then for Me'ila? We've talked about before that if a person, we had in the previous Perek, Machlokas, whether if a person does Me'ila B'mezid, Rebbe had said he's chayev Misib De'Shemayim, the Chum said he's only chayev Malkus, the Halacha is like the Chachamim. So therefore he should be getting Malkus also for Me'ila. So an answer is that all of the things we're listing over here are all things that he can be chayev on, even if he did less than a shava pruta of it. So he cooked less than a shava pruta of gidanosha in milk. And we said that it's considered, that according to the standard, it's considered meat. And he ate at least a kazayas of it, even though it's worth less than a pruta, et cetera, et cetera. Then he's going to be chayev. As opposed to when it comes to hektish, he's only chayev from me'ila, only if he used a pruta's worth of wood. So therefore it's true that in many cases he's going to be getting malchus for that also, but it's not necessarily a given because he would have to be using that minimum amount, that minimum value of wood. Okay. So that's that then. So the bottom line is we have this machlokas Rabba and Rav Chista about hoyil as it applies to Yomdu. Now we want to relate this back to the machlokas in our Mishnah. Going back to our Mishnah, we had a machlokas Rav Eliezer and Rav Yeshua and Ben Beseda about what you do if the dough is tamei and you're baking it on Pesach and you need to take challah from it before you can eat it. So again, we said that, as we said, that you have a few different intersecting problems over here. Because it's tamei, the kohen's not going to be able to eat the challah. So therefore, you can't just take it off and give it to him. If you leave it as dough, it's going to become chametz. If you bake it, well, Rabbi Eliezer says that's exactly what you should do: bake it. And now we said at the beginning of the sugya that Rabbi Eliezer would also hold of hoyil, but Rashi explains, now all of this we're going to explain for all this time, Rashi has been going according to an explanation of his Rebbeim, then we'll talk about soon the problems that he has with that. But we said at the beginning of the sugya, right after the Mishnah on Memvav Amud Beis, that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing on hoyil, but a different hoyil. The question is not whether the hoyil is not allowing you to bake it. The hoyil that they're dealing with over there is the question of, would a person be over on Bal Yerol, Bal Yimotze, if he keeps this dough around without baking it? So we would say, Rabbi Eliezer says that, Rabbi Eliezer, they was using hoyil, a different hoyil, and saying that we're machmir because of it. Namely, the hoyil is, as we said, he could be matir neder on this piece, and then it becomes not challah anymore, then it becomes part of the regular dough, which eventually he's going to be able to eat. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer would say that's reason enough that even now he's over on Bal Yerol Bal Yimotze, even if he hasn't asked the Shaila, because he could. whereas Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold to that. Rabbi Yeshua, so therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, therefore, the only alternative in order not to be over on Bayurah, Bayumatzah, is to bake it, and then you're going to have to take a piece off each one and give it to the Kohen. Rabbi Yeshua says that Rabbi Yeshua then, meanwhile, would be saying that you don't have to worry about that. Yes, he could ask a shayla and be matir neder, but the fact is he hasn't. We don't say hoyel that if he could, then it would have a certain din. We say that right now this thing is chala; it doesn't belong to him. Therefore, shochoy ataroya ablataroya shalachedim. You're allowed to see chametz that belongs to somebody else. So therefore, just set it aside. Set it aside, and if it becomes chametz, then it's not your problem. We also have the Mishnah Ben Beseda, who sort of agrees with Rabbi Yeshua and sort of with Rabbi Eliezer. He agrees with Rabbi Yeshua, you can't bake it. He agrees with Rabbi Eliezer, you would be over on Bayurah Bayumatzah. Therefore, he says the only alternative is to separate it as dough and then put it in cold water and hope that that keeps it from becoming chametz. Okay. So now, Omar Rami Bachama. So what we have to keep in mind for this, for in order to understand this next piece of Gemara, is that according to the explanation of Rashi's Rabbeim, which he explains further down the Amud, there are two different hoyels that we're dealing with over here. There's an original hoyel that we dealt with to explain Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua's machlokes, namely the question of, do we say that this dough already belongs to him, even though right now it doesn't, because he designated it as challah, but it could belong to him, hoyel, that he could be matir neder, and therefore that's enough for him to be over on Bayurah Bayumatzah or not. And then you have the second hoyel, whether that would allow, the second hoyel, which is what Rabbah and Rav Chista are arguing about, whether if a person bakes on Yom Tov, something which can't be eaten on Yom Tov, well, something which could be eaten on Yom Tov if Orchim come, but right now there are no Orchim, whether he's getting Malkus or not, which we said also affects the question, therefore, of what's the din as far as cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Amar Rami Bachama Hodr of Chista v'Rabba Machlokas to Rabbi Eliezer of Rabbi Yeshua. So Rami Bachama says, you should know the Machlokas of Rav Chista and Rabba is the same Machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. The Rabbi Eliezer Sava Amin and Hoyol, the Rabbi Yeshua Sava Loy Amin and Hoyol. Namely, Rabbi Eliezer says that, Rabbi Eliezer says we do say Hoyol, we do say hoyel, so you're allowed. So we actually say two. So we actually say, according to him, kind of two different. Now. So here's the thing. Rashi explains Rami Bachama is not referring to the first hoyel that we said at the beginning of the sugya, that the hoyel of that why it might or might not be something that he's over on Bayurah Bayumatzah. Rami Bachama is not addressing that right now. He's addressing the second question. Does that mean, so what about the fact is he's baking these things. One of them is, on the face of it, one of them is the one which is going to end up being designated as challah. That one, he shouldn't be allowed to bake on Yom Tov because the fact is nobody can eat it. So therefore he's baking on Yom Tov without a need, and yet Rabbi Eliezer says he should bake it, and Rabbi Yeshua says he should not. So Rami Bachama says that's exactly the same machlokas as Rav Chista and Rabba. The Rabbi Eliezer sava amin and hoyel. Rabbi Eliezer says we will say this second hoyel, the hoyel that makes it that if he bakes on Yom Tov where it's not necessary for Yom Tov, then he's not over on a Doraisa din of Yom Tov because we can say hoyel. Therefore, now that doesn't mean he should be allowed to do it, but in this case, where the alternative is that he's going to be over on Bayurah Bayumatzah, then Rabbi Eliezer will allow it, and he'll say that the hoyel, actually what we'll say is because he doesn't have to designate any one particular whole matzah as challah, in which case you would say that he was Tereach, that he baked that one without any need, and he was over on Yom Tov with that one. Rather, we can say he can break off a piece of each matzah and use them all together and gather them all together and use them for challah. So Rabbi Eliezer would hold of that concept. Rabbi Yeshua Savalai Amin and Hoyol, whereas Rabbi Yeshua would say, we don't say Hoyol. Therefore, So forgetting about the hoyel of whether he can be matir neder, we're not even addressing that right now. So in other words, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, so we're not even addressing that. We're addressing the question, can you bake it? And Rabbi Yeshua is saying there's no way to bake it without being over on an Isu Yom Tov, given that somewhere in here there's going to be given that the usual way of taking challah is that you take a chunk of dough, or if it's after it's baked, then you take a whole loaf. And in this case, if you take a whole loaf, then you've been over on Yom Tov because you bake that loaf unnecessarily because nobody can eat it. So that would be the same machlokas as Rav Chista and Rabba. Rav Chista that says you don't say hoyo would be like Rabbi Yeshua. Rabba, who says that you do say hoyo, would be like Rabbi Eliezer. But Amar Rav Papa, but Rav Papa says the Dilma ad, not necessarily the Dilma ad kan like Amar Rav Eliezer Hasam Damin and Hoyle. You know what though? You could say that Rav Eliezer does not. We could say that Rav Eliezer does not say Hoyle in the that Rav Eliezer says in the Mishnah that you can say Hoyle Ella de Beidna de Kaila Latanura. Because what happens when you're putting all these loaves of bread or matzah in the oven? Each one could be suitable for him because, again, you could say that each one of them may not end up being the challah one because, again, he could break off a piece of each one. Aval hocha, but over here, in the case that Rabba and Rav Chista are arguing about, where it's only suitable for guests, which he doesn't have any yet. And for himself, it's not because he already ate his yomtiv meal and he's not going to be able to eat anything else today. So not necessarily. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer would agree that you don't say hoyle in a case like that. You say hoyle when the thing itself, right now, you have all the factors that you need in order to be matir it, and just it's a question of how you're going to do it. Are you going to separate one whole matzah as challah, or are you going to separate a piece of each one? But over here, you have one of the factors missing in order to make it mutter. Namely, the factor is you need Urchim, and you don't have Urchim. So maybe Rabbi Eliezer would say you don't say Hoyol over there, like Rav Chista. And vice versa. And also similarly, Rav Shisha Breidit of Idi says that not necessarily in the other direction, not necessarily do we have to say that Rabbi Yeshua, who doesn't hold of a hoyle in our Mishnah, is going to hold of hoyle when it is not going to hold of hoyle either in the Machlokes Rav Chista and Rabba, not necessarily. Rav Shisha Breidit of Idi says, the Dumalohi, Ad kam ka'amar Rabbi Yeshua Hosam, Dalayamin and Hoyle. You know why Rabbi Yeshua says in the Mishnah, we don't say Hoyle. Therefore, we don't have a basis to be matir baking that challah on Yom Tov. The reason is Ela de'ika choda, because the fact is, at the end, you're going to have one loaf, Dalay chazya loyli today, v'loy la'orchim, which is not good for him or for the orchim because it's Truma Tmeya, and nobody's allowed to eat Truma Tmeya. Aval hocha, but in our case over here, where he baked on Yom Tov Letzorah Chol and then Orchim showed up, Dechazi Mias LaOrchim, at least that piece of bread is suitable, that bread that he baked is suitable for Orchim, because not Truma Tmeya, anybody is allowed to eat it. You don't have the Orchim right now, but there's nothing actually preventing it from being eaten. So maybe Rabbi Yeshua would agree with Rabba that in this case you could say hoyo. The opposite of Rav Papa's way of thinking of it. Rav Papa is saying that the primary thing would be whether you have all the factors in place right now, and in the case of baking on Yom Tov, you don't, because you don't have the Orchim. On the other hand, Rav Shisha Breidit of Idi is saying you focus on the fact, is it actually mutter or not? The fact is, the bread that a person bakes on Yom Tov is mutter to everybody, whereas if he, in the case of our Mishnah, the challah tmeya that he bakes on Yom Tov isn't suitable for anybody, and the only way to say hoyo would be if he does something different by breaking off a piece of each one, and that not necessarily is, so there, Rabbi Yeshua would say you don't say hoyo for that, But maybe where the only thing that's missing is Orchim, and the fact is it is Mutter, maybe he would say you do say Hoyle. Okay. Now, Rashi here brings in the point that, so when we just said that there are two different Hoyles over here, we have a Hoyle at the beginning of the Gemara, on Memvav Amud Beis, explain it where we wanted to use it to explain Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and we said the hoyol over there was the girsa that we had over there is he could be matur neder, and therefore this piece can be considered his, and therefore he can be oivan and on bayur al bayimotza. Then now, since then we've been talking about a hoyol. Since then we've been talking about the hoyol that Rabba and Rav Chista are talking about, the hoyol of is there a way to be matur it by guests showing up, or in this case is there a way to be matur it by taking a small piece of each one instead of one whole matzah. Rashi has a few problems with that explanation. First of all, if we say, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that the fact that he could be matur neder is enough for it to be considered his now, and therefore we would say that in the case of the challah, that he is ovan bayurah bayimotzah even now, why don't we say the same thing with hekdesh? In the first parak we learned that you're allowed to have chametz of hekdesh around. Avalat aroya shalachirim shogavaya. Hekdesh you could also be poida, Not poeta. Hektish, you could be. You could be mater neder about. Hektish, you could be poeta. That's true, but that's another matter. But you could be mater neder on it, and therefore it would become not hektish anymore. And actually, yeah, the point is rather not so much that you could be mater neder. In fact, a couple of the Achronim point out an interesting point. Rashi mentions specifically that you can be poeder. He doesn't mention being mater neder. One interesting idea about that is there's an opinion of Bishamai elsewhere in Shas that says hektish tos is still hektish. If a person was machdish something, even if it was based on a mistaken assumption, Bishamai says it still remains hektish and there's no grounds to be mater neder. Rabbi Yezda was one of the Talmudim of Bishamai, therefore he might hold you can't be mater neder on hektish, but he would agree, of course, that you could be poida hektish. So therefore, you should say the same hoyel and say that he should be chayev on bayudal bayimatzah even for hektish. That's one of Rashi's problems. Another problem that Rashi has is why? How do we switch the word hoyel? How do we switch the meaning of the word hoyel midstream without even explaining that we're talking about two different hoyels? One a hoyel that would be chayev him in bayudal bayimatzah, and another hoyel that would make it allowed for him to bake the loaf without being over on the Isurim of Yom Tov. So Rashi rather says, I would prefer to say that we take out at the beginning of the sugya the words de iboy mitchel ale, that if he wanted, he could have been matur neder, and we're talking about the same hoyel throughout. Remember, the Yezer allows you to bake it because, again, even though in the end there's one that you can't eat, but since he could instead take a piece from each one, then therefore we would apply hoyel, like Rabba says, the same way as Rabba says guests could show up, the same way Rabbi Yezer would say you could instead break off a piece of each one and use it for challah, therefore you're entitled to bake all of them. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua would be saying, Rabbi Yeshua wouldn't hold of hoyel. This is what Rami Bar Chama is arguing. And therefore he would say, just like if a person bakes, so in that case, he can't bake the challah. So the only alternative is to leave it as dough and not worry about it becoming chametz because not over on Bayudah or Bayimotza, because not his. And then in the machlokas of Rabbi and Rav Chista, Rami Bar Chama tells us he would hold like Rav Chista that the person would get malchus for baking on Yom Tov when he doesn't have guests to give the food to. And then we said that Rav Papa and Rav Shisha Bar Edi would say that not necessarily, yes, there is this concept of hoyel, and we are using the same concept of hoyel throughout, but we're saying, but not necessarily would Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua apply it or not apply it in the same way as Rabbi and Rav Chista does, because there is still a distinction between the case of our Mishnah and the case of baking on Yom Tov Letzorech Hoyel. Now, we're going to learn a braisa where, in fact, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing on the question of whether he's over on Bal Yudah or Bal Yimotzah. But according to Rashi's own explanation, we can say that at this point in the discussion, the Gemara doesn't know of that braisa yet. So therefore, as far as we know, the whole machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, is nothing to do per se with whether he's over on Bal Yudah or Bal Yimotzah. They both agree, let's say, that he wouldn't. But Rabbi Eliezer says still you'd be allowed to bake it on you'd be able to bake it on the grounds of hoyel because you could use a piece from each one for challah. And Rabbi Yeshua would say that we don't say hoyel and therefore you can't. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Amru Rabbanan Kameid Rabbi Yirmi Yevrab Zera. The Chachamim told over this whole discussion and this whole explanation about this statement of Rami Bar Chama's in particular that. What Rami Bar Chama had said, that the machloikas Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, is about hoyel, and it's the same machloikas as Rabbi and Rav Chista, so they told this over to Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah kibla, Rabbi Zera like kibla. Rabbi Yirmiyah accepted it. Go, okay, now we understand the Mishnah. Rabbi Zera did not want to accept it. He still had a problem with it. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah le Rabbi Zera, so Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zera, why don't you want to accept it? It's a very good explanation. Milsa de Kashalon, here we have something that for a long time we've been wondering about. What is the basis of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua's machlokas? Now we've said at the very beginning of the Gemara, we could try to say that they're arguing about Tovas Hanah Mamon, whether the fact that you have the ability to get a few dollars for giving the challah to a particular Kohen is not considered Mamon or not. But okay, even if Rabbi Eliezer holds Tovas Hanah Mamon, still, if you say that you're not allowed to bake the challah on Yom Tov, then you're being over on Loisasa Komalacha B'Yadayim. So wouldn't it be better, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, to be over on Bal Yirah, where at least you're not doing anything? If either way you're going to be over on a lav, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have a choice of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotza, because it's considered your mamon, but that would be passive versus loy sasa komalacha or komalacha lo yasa behem, whatever. Which is an iser biyadayim. Wouldn't it be better to do the passive iser? So it can't be, so Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying, all this time we've been wondering what the basis of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua's machlokas is. It's not just tovas hanam mamon, because that wouldn't explain why Rabbi Eliezer allows you to bake it. And now, hashta amru mishmei de gavra rabba, now they're telling it over in the name of a great person, that Rami Bachoma is telling us a good reason, that they're arguing on the question of hoyo. So milsa de kashalon va'asya kamashoni. I skipped the line. Milsa de kashalon va'asya kamashoni. Something which we've been wondering about for many years now. But my pligi, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, what Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing about? Hashta amru mishmei de gavra rabba. Now they told it over in the name of a great person, Rami Bachoma, v'loy nekabla. So we shouldn't accept it. What's your problem with this explanation? Amalei. So Rabbi Zera answers, Heifi akabla. How should I accept it? The Tanena. After all, we learn in a Braisa addressing our Mishnah that about this machlokas, Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, that Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, Lidvarecha, according to you, how could you say you're allowed to bake this challah? Harehu over mishum loisasa komalacha. Isn't he over on doing malacha? Now loisasa komalacha is actually a pasuk in connection with Shabbos. So on the side over here, the Masoras Hashas, Rabbi Shaya Pick, changes it to maybe it should be like Kol Malacha La Yosa Behem, which is a pasuk that talks about Yom Tov. Whatever the case, the point is Rabbi Yeshua is saying to Rabbi Eliezer, you're being over on doing Malacha on Yom Tov, Vishosikle, and Rabbi Eliezer is quiet, implying that he didn't have an answer. Now, says Rabbi Zera V'Yisa, if Rami Bachoma's answer is correct, Leimalei, then why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer answer and say, Taima Didi Mishum Hoyel? That the reason I'm allowing it is because you're not over on Loisasa Kol Malacha in that case, because Hoyel makes it that's a Malacha that could be used for Yom Tov. So the fact that Rabbi Eliezer didn't answer that seems to be, therefore, that the point of their Machlokas is something else, not the question of Hoyel. So therefore, I can't accept it. Very nice that we've had the question all these years, and you think we finally have an answer, but this Braisa seems to shrug that up. Amalei, so Rabbi Yirmiyah answers, V'litai meich, nu, according to your own svara, if you're going to start bringing proofs from Braises, hard to name a Braisa, then we have another Braisa that says the other way around. Amalei, Rabbi Eliezer, L'dvarecha harei over mishum b'yirah b'yimotze, according to your words that you say you shouldn't bake it and just leave it until the evening and don't worry about it becoming chametz, harei over mishum b'yirah b'yimotze, wouldn't you be over on b'yirah b'yimotze, v'shosikle, and in that Braisa, Rabbi Yeshua is quiet and doesn't give an answer. So what, says Rabbi Yirmiyah to Rabbi Zera, do you think that means that Rabbi Yeshua didn't have an answer at all? In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua gives an answer. Because in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua didn't just say leave it. Rabbi Yeshua gave a reason. This is not the kind of chametz for which a person is over on b'yirah b'yimotze because it's not his. So the fact that there was no answer in the Braisa, the fact that it only gave Rabbi Eliezer's question without Rabbi Yeshua's answer, doesn't show that Rabbi Yeshua had no answer. Ella, so what it means is, shosik lebi Braisa, means that Rabbi Yeshua's answer is not given in the Braisa. But the answer is given in our Mishnah, and we find that Rabbi Yeshua did have an answer after all. Hochinami, the same thing, as far as the Braisa that you, Rabbi Zera, quoted. You quoted a Braisa where Rabbi Yeshua says, Ancha Oivan Loisasa Komalacha, and Rabbi Eliezer doesn't say anything. Doesn't mean he actually never said anything. Hochinami, the same thing. Emo Shosik Leib Masnissin. He may have been quiet in the Mishnah and in that Braisa, but he might have answered him in a different collection of Braises. Mechilta literally means a collection. That's what we have. There's a medrash on Sefer Shmos, which starting with Achodesh Azalachem and going through and explaining the Psukim and how we learn and how we learn the halachas from the Psukim. You have similar collections on Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Dvarim. The one on Shmos is called Mechilta. The one on Shmos is called Mechilta, and now we see in the Gemara over here, we have this word Mechilta, which means a collection of braises. So in other words, the fact that you don't know a Braise yet, where Rabbi Eliezer has an answer, doesn't show that he doesn't have an answer. In fact, there might be another Braise out there where he says that, that where he gives an answer, and that answer might very well be, like Rami Bachama says, because of Hoyle. So therefore, so you don't have to reject Rami Bachama's explanation that they're arguing about Hoyle on the basis of that you don't know of a Braise where Rabbi Eliezer mentions that, because there may very well be some other, just like we see over here, where the questions and the answers between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are scattered across different collections of Braises and or Mishnah. So there might be another one out there that has Rabbi Eliezer's answer. So okay, we don't have to say now Rami Bachama had also said that it's the same machloikas as Rabbah and Rav Chista. That Rabbi Yeshua would definitely hold like Rav Chista, and Rabbi Eliezer would definitely hold like Rabba. So fine, that we don't have to say, because Rav Papa and Rav Shisha Bredi Rav Idi pointed out that it's not exactly the same case. There are distinctions between them. But the basic idea that Rami Bachama is saying, that they're arguing about Hoyle, that we can accept. So again, according to Rashi's Rebbeim, we're talking that there's two different Hoyles to deal with over there. The Hoyle of Izzy Oivan Bayurah Bayimotze, where Rabbi Eliezer is saying he would be Hoyle, that he could be Matir Neder. And then a second Hoyle, is he going to be allowed to bake it? And there Rabbi Eliezer is applying a different Hoyle, Lakula, and saying because you could break off a piece from each one. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua would say doesn't hold of either of those hoyles. He said the first one doesn't make it yours to the extent that you'd be over on Bayurah Bayimotzah, and the second one doesn't allow you to bake it. That's according to Rashi's Rebbeim. According to Rashi himself, there's only one hoyle over here, because again, the Gemara is not not going to switch midstream talking about a different hoyle without explaining that we're talking about a different one. Okay. So now, who is the halacha like in the end between Rabbi Eliezer, between the three opinions in our Mishnah? Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Rebbe Omer halacha ke Rabbi Eliezer. Rebbe says the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, what you do is you bake all the matzahs first, and then you designate one as challah. Either you designate one whole one as challah, or you break off a piece of each one and designate it as challah, as the case may be. So that's what you should do. Rabbi Yitzchok says the halacha is like Ben Beseira, that what you should do is don't bake it, because Ben Beseira agrees that you can't bake it on Yom Tov. Instead, put the dough in cold water, and hope that it doesn't become chametz. On Omid Beis, Rashi explains that we're going to talk further over there about this matter of putting already baked loaves into one basket and then having them combined as far as challah. So Rashi mentions on Omid Beis that's what you should do. We are going to hold like Rabbi Eliezer. Now we have nowadays, when we take challah, of course, we don't give it to the kohen to eat. We burn it. So what do you do if you're baking matzah on Yom Tov? So therefore, what you do is Rashi describes like this. Don't designate challah before you bake it. Make a larger challah and then a smaller challah. The smaller challah is eventually going to be the one, matzah, whatever, is going to be the one that eventually is going to be used for the mitzvah of challah. You bake both of them. Then when you take them out of the oven, put them in a keli. The Gemara is going to tell us on Omid Beis, the keli combines them together. Then you take the smaller one, you call it challah, you set it aside until matzah Yom Tov, and then you burn it. He says that the Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Yoko, who was one of Rashi's Rebbeim, told us that this is what we should do. Okay. Now, the Braisa now continues. This Braisa that started out saying who the halacha is like, Rebbe, who's saying that it's like Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yitzchok saying that it's like Ben Beseira, then this Braisa starts talking about another topic also related to baking matzahs. The Braisa asks for Kama Shir Issa. What is the largest size of dough? What's the largest size batch of dough that you're allowed to be kneading at one time on Pesach? Now, we learned before that there's a certain amount of time. We said one meal, 18 minutes, after which dough is going to become chametz. We said that if you're working on the dough, it's not going to become chametz. So the question is, though, if you have too large a batch, you're not going to be able to be working on all of it at the same time. So there's and therefore, you have parts of it could end up becoming chametz. In fact, the Rishonim mentioned, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that once you're kneading the dough, then you may have to go even faster, because after all, your hands warm up the dough as they're kneading them. So there has to be a certain maximum size of dough that you can be kneading at once in order that no part of it is left unattended. So what is that amount? So Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosef Rabbi Yochanan Breuka Omer bechitin kabayin. When it comes to a dough made out of wheat, the maximum is 2 kavim. Over sa'odin shloshes kavim. When it comes to barley, then you can use you can do a larger amount. It can be 3 kavim. Rabbi Nosson Omer Meshum Rabbi Eliezer chiluf advarim. Rabbi Nosson says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer the other way around: 3 kavim with wheat, 2 kavim with barley. Now, on the face of it, it sounds like a machlokes b'metzius, which one becomes chametz faster. So Rabbi Hanan explains it's not a machlokes b'metzius. One way of understanding it is that 2 kavim of wheat will produce more flour than 3 kavim of barley, because wheat is cleaner than barley. So therefore it amounts to the same thing. On the other hand, you could take the view, wheat is fattier, it has gluten. So therefore that itself makes it less likely to become chametz, as opposed to barley, which is leaner, it's more pure starch, and therefore it's more likely to become chametz faster. So that would be the underlying machlokas, whether you can have less wheat because anyway you get the same amount of flour out of less wheat as you do out of more barley, or vice versa, the fact that barley maybe is more susceptible to becoming chametz. Okay. The question is, we said that Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosef Rabbi Yochanan Breuka says 2 kavim of wheat or 3 kavim of barley. V'atanya, but we learn in another brisa, Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosef Rabbi Yochanan Breuka Omer b'chitin shloshes kavim or v'sa'urin abar kavim, that it's 3 kavim of wheat or 4 kavim of barley is the maximum that you can need on Pesach. So the answer is like kasha, ha'ba chasichsa, ha'ba mal yosa. It depends whether we're talking about bad quality wheat or good quality. Chasichsa is like you have in Pari's dream when he sees the Sheva Shibolim Dakos or Shdufos Kadim. One of the words that describes over there to describe the thin stalks, Targum Onkelos translates it as chasichsa, which is the same word we have over here. So it means bad quality wheat or barley, as the case may be. So those kinds of things. So the bad quality ones. So the amount of flour you would get out of 3 kavim of bad quality wheat is equal to the amount you would get out of 2 kavim of good quality wheat. And the same thing, 4 versus 3 when it comes to barley. So then on the other hand, when you the first brice, it was talking about good quality wheat and barley. So Amar Papa Shmamina, and Papa says, by the way, you see from this, Grien Chiti Chasichsa Michiti Mal Yosa. The relative difference between bad wheat and good wheat is greater, tfei, is greater, midigrian sari chasichsa misari malyasa, is greater than the relative difference between bad barley and good barley. Dilo hosem tilsa v'hochariva. Because what do you see with barley? You're saying the amounts is 3 and 4 respectively. So in other words, 4 kav of bad barley gives you as much flour as 3 kavim of good barley, which means that the fact that they're bad means you're losing 25% of the yield. Instead of having out of four, let's say 4 pounds of flour. Instead, you're getting only 3 pounds, let's say. So you're losing 25%, as opposed to with wheat, we're saying it's 3 and 2 respectively, which means you're losing 33% for the fact that it's bad. So the Papa points out that you see that the relative difference is greater with wheat than it is with barley. So what's the nafka minna for that? The nafka minna would be the nafka minna. Rashi says in nekachu memker, as far as buying and selling. That if you're selling somebody wheat, for example, and you're telling him to begin with that it's chasichsa, that it's bad quality wheat, he should expect that he's going to be losing more relative to if he had bought good wheat, and therefore you should give him a larger discount than would be the case with barley. With barley, you should only have to discount it because it's chasichsa, because it's bad quality. You should only have to discount it 25%. With wheat, you would have to discount it 33%. Okay. So continuing on this topic of how much you can knead at one time. So again, we had Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosef Rabbi Yochanan Breuka and Rabbi Nosson giving different opinions, whether it was less wheat and more barley, 2 kavim of wheat or 3 of barley, or the other way around. Now, another opinion, Amar Rav, Rav says, and Rav, remember we have in a few places in Chas, Rav is considered a Tana, and he can argue with Tanoim, especially in a Braisa, so therefore he can have an opinion of his own over here. Kav of Malugna Olapischa, a Kav of Malugna from a certain place called Malugna, is the maximum amount you're allowed to knead on Pesach, because again, if it's any larger, then you can't work over the dough all at one time, then it could become chametz. V'chein l'chala, and the same thing is as far as a shiur chala, that if you're kneading a Kav of Malugna, then you're chayv in chala. So the Gemara says, what do you mean a Kav of Malugna? We're assuming that a Kav of Malugna is more or less the same as the size of a Kav anywhere else. You're not Chayev Chalav, you're not Chayev to take Chalav from one Kav. V'hatanya, or V'hatnan, really, it's a Mishnah. Chameshes Ruvoyim Kemach V'oid Chayev M'chala. Only if you have five quarters, one and a quarter Kavim of flour, V'oid, and a tiny bit more, Chayev M'chala. Then they're Chayev M'chala. Now, Rashi gives the whole calculation over here. We learned in Eruvin that there were three different sets of measurements. There was Midah Midboris, which they used when the Torah was given. There's Midah Yerushalmis, which was created at some point later when the center of Jewish life was in Yerushalayim. Based on certain Gemaras, it might have been in the time of Yechezkel. And then you have Midas Tzipodius, which are based on the measurements of Tzipori, which they used after the center of Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael moved there, after the Sanhedrin was in Tzipori, when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi lived there in particular. This is after the second Mishmikdash was destroyed, sometime after the second Mishmikdash was destroyed. Each one is 20% larger than the previous one. So, in the case of Yechezkel, actually, there are psukim where Yechezkel also talks about the monetary system, and the Gemara explains based on psukim over there. We learned this in Menachos and Bechoros that he says that the monetary system was also increased by 20%. So it could be that the measurements increased also by 20% to keep pace. If you're used to the idea that a kav of flour, let's say, should cost X amount, then like this, it's still the case that a kav of flour costs X amount. Just the coins are larger and the measurements are larger, but they both keep pace. Whatever the case, so when it comes to challah, now the idea is like this. Challah, a person is, you have a machlokas actually, Shammai, it's one of those weird machlokas in where you have Shammai versus Hillel versus all the other chachamim, not Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but Shammai himself and Hillel himself versus the other chachamim. The halacha is like the other chachamim. Anyway, the minimum amount that a person is chayev to take challah from, the halacha is like the other chachamim. The minimum amount is the size of 43.2 eggs, which is the amount that they had in the Midbar when they had the mun every day. An oimer of mun fell every day, and an oimer is that amount. An oimer, the Pasuk tells us, is 1/10 of an ephah. An ephah is 3 sa'ah. A saw is 6 kavim, a kav is 4 logim, etc. So when you calculate it down, you come out that an ephah is the size of 432 eggs. So an oimer is 1/10 of that, 43.2. In terms of kavim, in terms of midas midbarius, that comes out to 1.8 kavim. So 1.8. Then when they started using midas yerushalmius, then instead it becomes about 1.7. If you calculate it out, because now it's increased by 20% in size, so it's still the same number of eggs, but now instead of having 6 eggs to the lug, now you have 7.2 eggs to the lug. So therefore it comes out to a little more. And then when they started using Midas Tzipodius, the figure becomes even smaller. Then you have it comes out to so in Midas Yerushalmius, it comes out to 1.5 kavim. And in terms of Midas Tzipodius, where a kav is larger in Midas Tzipodius, it comes out to 1.2 kavim. Yeah, well, that's what we're saying, because the kav grows larger. Now, the kav grows larger. You know, Lahavda, you have a similar example. We in America are not as familiar with it, but you have two different sizes of gallon. There's an American gallon and there's a British gallon, which is a bit larger. So if you had, let's say, for example, you're taking liquid and pouring it into a container, you'd have, if you're measuring in American gallons, you're going to have more gallons because each gallon is smaller. If you're measuring in British gallons, imperial gallons, then it's going to be fewer gallons because each one is larger. So the same thing over here, 1.8 of Midbarius equals 1.5 of Yerushalmius, which in turn equals 1.2 of Tzipodius. So therefore, so that's the amount, 1.2. So it would be actually not 1.2, sorry, 1.25, 1.25. That would be, so in terms of how you put it in modern terms, different posts can argue, because as we know, there's the famous argument of the Chazon Ish and Rabbi Chaim Na about the size of the measurements. There's a few other lesser known opinions as well. The general idea the poskim say is if you're making less than about 3 pounds of flour, then you don't take challah at all. Between 3 and 5 pounds, there you have the suffix. So therefore, you take without a bracha. More than 5 pounds or so, I'm rounding off a little bit. It's a little less than 3 pounds and a little more than five, whatever. More than five, you take with a bracha. Yeah. Anyway, so the Mishnah tells us that 1.25 kavim tzipodius or chayiv in challah. So what are you telling me? 1 kava malugna. Now Rashi says that we shouldn't have the word va'oid in our Mishnah over here because you don't need the word va'oid. 1.25 kavim is exactly the amount to be chayiv and chala. Tosfos says there is an opinion of Rabbi Yossi we learned about in Shabbos that says that he requires that even after you take out the chala, there should still be the minimum shiur chala left. So therefore, according to him, you do have the va'oid. To him. In other words, you have to have midaraisa, any amount can be given for challah. It's only the rabbanon that you have to have 1/24th or 1/48th of the dough. So Rabbi Yossi would say, therefore, you need that va'oid. You need a tiny bit more in order that when you take out the challah, there's still left chameshes revoim. The point being, in other words, what Rav is telling us that a kav melugna is enough to take challah from, but we see it has to be larger than that. The answer is hochi kama. What Rav means to tell us, kaba malugnoi nami, a hai shiurakoi, a kaba malugno is equal in size to chameshes revoyim of kavim sepodius. In other words, we're saying that in the midbar they use smaller kavim, in your shalayim they use larger ones, in sepodi they use even larger ones, in malugno they use even larger kavim. So 1 kav of theirs equals 1.25 kavim from sepodi. Continuing on this topic of how much you're allowed to knead at one time for Pesach, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Hani Noshi Didan, our wives, meaning Rabbi Hananel says in particular, it means my wife and the other members of my household, Nohu Glumefa Kap Kapiza Kapiza Lepischa. They have the minhag to only knead and bake on Pesach 1 kapiza at a time. A kapiza, Rashi says, is 3 logim. So that's less than a shiur challah. So in other words, even though we're saying you could knead up to a shiur challah, which is 5 logim, they want to be on the safe side, and therefore they max out at 3. Amalei Abayas, Abayas says that. What good does that do? My daitach, what are you thinking? L'chumra? You're thinking to go l'chumra to make it less likely the dough would become chametz, but chumra de'osili de'kulahu. Isn't it a chumra that leads to a kula, to kamafka l'machala, because then you're making, that you're taking away the mitzvah of challah from it. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef says that's not a problem because the Avdan Kerab Eliezer. What they do is after they bake the matzahs, then they do like what Rabbi Eliezer says. The Tanya, or again the Tanan, it's a Mishnah in Masechta Chala. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Haroidev Anoisim Masal. Now the first part of the Mishnah over there mentions that the Tanakama says like this: when would dough combine together? If you have two different batches of dough that neither one is a shiur challah, what can they combine together? So the Tanakama in that Mishnah, I think it was Tekka Gemara, the Tanakama in that Mishnah says that only if they're noishchos, only if they bite one into another. In other words, sometimes you have a batch of dough, you put, let's say you make 1 challah and then you make another challah, you put them next to each other in the oven and they get stuck together. And if you try to pull them apart, then a little piece of one, some of the dough from one sticks to the other and vice versa. So the Chum said that's what you'd need to combine them for challah. Rabbi Eliezer Oymer, Haroid of a Nois in Lasal. Rabbi Eliezer says, if you take them out of the oven and put them in a basket, Hasal Matzav from the challah, then the basket combines them together as far as challah. Now, on the face of it, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that they don't even need to be noshchos. It's enough that you just put them in a basket afterwards. So that is the halacha as it is in Shulchan Aruch. They don't have to be noshchos, although there are different Rishonim who understand that maybe Rabbi Eliezer, based on the continuation of the Gemara over here, that maybe Rabbi Eliezer would say that you need both. You need to be that they were noshchos and that you put them in a basket afterwards together in order for them to combine together for challah. No, we're talking about, in other words, whether the rest of the year or Pesach. In this particular case, we're talking about Pesach. So Rabbi Yosef tells Abaya, what we do in my household, they don't want to need a full shiur challah at one time because you might easily go over and then it could become chametz. So instead, they do it in smaller quantities. What about challah? They put it in a basket afterwards. And that helps to combine, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that works, and it combines together, and now you have a full shiur challah, which is what we do nowadays. As we said before, what Rashi brings from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov ben Yochar, we do something similar nowadays. So even before Pesach and the matzah bakeries, this is how they do it. They don't want to leave, now and now before Pesach, of course, there's not as much of an issue. They could, in principle, take the challah as dough and burn it right there because there's no problem. It's long before Pesach, they don't have to worry about having chametz around. But instead, because they want to get the matzahs baked as fast as possible without leaving them unattended for a little bit, what they do is they use the same kind of mechanism. They bake a bunch of matzahs in the oven together. Then afterwards, they put them in a box or a basket or a tray or something, and then they take challah from it. Then they take one whole matzah from it, designate it as challah, and burn it. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef is saying, in my household, we do the same thing. So, and because of Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha k Rabbi Eliezer. The halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, that a basket combines them together. So therefore, that works. So again, you have some Rishonim that learn that what it would mean is Rabbi Eliezer would say they had to be noshich in the oven and afterwards to be put in a basket. But the surface meaning of the Gemara is not like that. And the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch don't paskin that way. You don't need them to be noshich. Just the fact that you put them in a basket afterwards. You also, I should mention, you have Rishonim also who say, even if Rabbi Eliezer doesn't say they need to be noshich, you have Rishonim who learn that he would still say it only works if right after you take them out of the oven, you put them in the basket. But if, let's say, you took them out of the oven, you put them out to cool or whatever, and later on you put them in the basket, then not. Again, the Rambam makes no such distinction, neither does Shulchan Aruch. So the halacha is at any point when you put them in the basket intending to combine them together, then they combine and you can take challah from it. So Omale, so Abaya says, what? It would be noshech with matzahs is another problem, right? We talked about that the other day, whether that part is going to get baked fully, right? Yeah. Amale, so Abaya says, but still, how does that work? For her Itmar Allah, wasn't it said about that? It's not so simple that Rabbi Eliezer, this that Rabbi Eliezer is saying, that you can just put them in a basket and they combine. We said on it, Amar Rabbi Shurban Levi, lo shonu ela kikris shel bavel. This kind of din that Rabbi Eliezer is saying, you put it in a basket, only works with loaves of the type that they make in bavel, which are wide and round like ours. Like our matzahs, for example. So that works because when you put them next to each other in the oven, they're very likely to be noshich one into the other. But not if you're making like long skinny breads. Rashi translates it with a French word, but whatever it means, long and skinny bread. Like, let's say, for example, French bread or whatever, or other things like that. We're not necessarily are they going to touch each other in the oven. So Rabbi Eliezer doesn't say that. Now again, like you just said, with matzah, you can't really have them be noshech in each other on Pesach, because that could create problems anyway. So not necessarily when your wife is baking the matzah in the oven, is she making sure that they're noshech? Adarabah, she's probably trying to make sure that they don't. And according to that understanding of Rabbi Shurban Levi's, even Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that putting them in a basket doesn't combine them together for challah. So we're back to the problem. Yes, they're being machmir as far as the dinim of Pesach, but they're being mekel, and that they're making it that the mitzvah of chametz is being taken away. The answer is ha itman Allah. No, the answer is there was actually said on that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is not the only opinion about that. Omer Rabbi Chanina afilo ka'achin. Rabbi Chanina, on the other hand, understands Rabbi Eliezer to be saying that the same din would apply as far as long, narrow ones either. Regardless, the fact that you put them in a basket afterwards combines them. So therefore, so we can make it work that way. So the Gemara asks, Boy Rabbi Yemiya, Tavla she'en lo levizbezin mahu. What would be the din if instead of putting the matzahs or bread, as the case may be, into a keli, like a basket, like Rabbi Eliezer mentioned, what if you put it on a flat board which doesn't have any rims? Mahu, what would be the din? Would Rabbi Eliezer say it combines? Toich kliba inin vaholeka. Would we say it's considered like the inside? Would we say you have to have the inside of a keli? Here you don't. Therefore, even Rabbi Eliezer would say it doesn't combine and it's not chayiv and chala. Oy doma aver kliba inin, or maybe it just needs to be in the airspace of a keli. Vahoika, and it is because it's on this board. So the answer is teku. So misafik, you don't have to take challah from it. So if you put them on a flat board, then the misafik, then you don't have to take challah from it. I think there are some of the poskim say that applies even in Eretz Yisrael. It certainly applies in Chutz La'aretz, where challah is only dirabanan, and therefore you wouldn't take challah from it. After you take them out of the oven, you put them on a flat board, you pile them up on a flat board, let's say, not necessarily would even Rabbi Eliezer say that now they're chayiv and challah. Well, the trays they use in the matzah bakeries have rims. They have low rims, but they still have rims, so you still have toich kli. But yeah, flat means completely flat, like a table over here. Yeah. Now, all of this is talking about, obviously, if you started with a batch of dough smaller than a shiur challah, like Rabbi Yosef's wife did, if you started out with a batch the size of a shiur challah or more, and then you break it up into individual matzahs, then anyway, it was chayiv and challah as soon as it was needed, so then you don't even need siruf kli, then you chayiv and challah regardless. Now, what it does say in Shulchan Aruch, as far as these dinim about needing more than a shiur challah, that you shouldn't, as we're saying in our Gemara over here, you shouldn't need more than a shiur challah. Ideally, you would do a little bit less, like we're saying in the Gemara, in order not to go over by mistake, and then afterwards you use siruf kli in order to take challah from them. If you ended up doing more than a shiur challah and you did it quickly enough that either way it's in the oven and it's in the oven inside of 18 minutes, then b'dieved it's fine. Because the fact is, even if you had left the dough completely unattended, up to 18 minutes, it wouldn't be chametz, right? So even though it was a batch larger than a shiur challah, and you shouldn't have done it, the fact is, it's not going to be worse than dough that was left completely unattended. If it took more than 18 minutes, then also, if you can be sure, it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you can be sure you worked over the whole thing, then technically it is mutter, but better not to use it if you can help it. Okay. Tanya, so to finish off, we learn in a braisa about this business of tziruf, whether you can combine together already baked matzahs or challahs for shiur challah. Rabbi Eliezer Omar Salmatzarfa, and Rabbi Eliezer says that the basket combines them. So therefore, in other words, as we said, you need to put it in a basket. Rabbi Yeshua Omar Tanu Matzarfa. Rabbi Yeshua says the oven combines them. In other words, just the fact that Rashi says you don't even need to put them in a basket. Just the fact that you had all of these matzahs or all of these challahs in the oven at one time is enough to combine them together as far as a shiur challah. Although there are, Hagoris HaGra brings over here from the Yerushalmi, and there are some other Rishonim who learned it. Ramban also learns this way, that no, what it means is Rabbi Yeshua is saying that you need just the opposite. Rabbi Yeshua would say that a basket does not combine them. Only if they were in the oven at the same time does it combine them. In other words, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you could have baked a few different batches in different ovens or one after the other or whatever, and still you put them into the basket and they combine. Whereas according to this understanding, not like Rashi, Rabbi Yeshua would be saying that only if they were all together in the oven do they combine. Whether you put them in a basket is neither here nor there. Reb Shimon Gamliel, I'm a kikris, shabavol, shanoshchas, zumazum, it's tarfas. Reb Shimon Gamliel says specifically loaves above, like we said, wide, flat loaves. Where should noishchas zumazu? They bite one into the other. Mitztarfis, those are the ones that combine, which was like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer. So in practice, with the matzah bakeries, what they do is, so again, they I don't know if the amount they need to begin with is more than a shiur challah. I should mention, it does mention in Shulchan Aruch that yesh oimrim, that when you have many people working on the matzah, as you do in our modern matzah bakeries, then maybe you would be allowed to do even more than a shiur challah because you're going to be distributing it among a bunch of people. So I don't know whether l'maisa they're noyiglat in the matzah bakeries or whether they tack and make sure not to do more than a shiur challah at a time. I'm not sure. Whatever the case, they give it out to the women, they roll it out or whatever, they put it in the oven. Afterwards, again, what they do is afterwards, they put them in a box or a basket or something, and then they take challah from it. And then they're right. Okay. Mishnah says, Rav Gamliel Omer, Sholosh Noshim Loshitz Kachas. Rav Gamliel says that three women can be kneading dough all at once, each one making enough dough to bake an entire batch of bread, an entire oven full of bread at one time. And then they can bake in the one oven, one after the other. In other words, Rav Gamliel is not concerned about the problem that meanwhile, after one is finished making her dough and the other one is already baking, she's going to have to wait. It may become chametz. Rav Gamliel is not concerned about that. It's such a short amount of time. But the Chum say you can't do that. You could have Sholosh Noshim, Oiskitz, Botzakachas. You could have three women working on dough together, but not each one doing the same thing at the same time, but rather achas losha v'achas ereches v'achas oifa. You have at any one time, one of them is kneading, one of them is rolling out and shaping the dough, and the other one is baking it. In other words, as the Gemara is going to explain, you have a cycle going. You have one woman starts kneading. The other two women are just waiting. Then when she gets to the point where she's rolling out her dough, then the second woman can start kneading. Then when the first one is ready to put her dough in the oven and it's baking over there, then the second one can move to shaping her dough. And the first one can start kneading. And so you go in a cycle like that. At any given time, you have each one of them is doing one of these three things. And that way it works, because that way there's no delay from when each one is finished until it goes into the oven. Yeah, well, kneading it means mixing the flour and water. Rolling it, oireches, is flattening it out and shaping it. And right. Yeah, okay, same thing. Rabbi Akiva says, going back to what Rabbi Gamliel was saying, that you could have three women be kneading it same time and then bake one after the other. Rabbi Akiva says, come on, loikola noshim, veloikola eitzim, veloikola tanurim shavim. Not all women are the same, not all wood, some of them are faster than others, not all wood is the same, some wood burns better than others, and not all ovens are the same, some heat up faster. So therefore, you can't use Rabbi Gamliel's svara and say that you could have three women kneading at the same time or rolling at the same time, where then they're going to have to wait their turn for the oven and it might become chometz in between. Zach, Klal, the general rule is, tofach, if she sees that the dough that she's working with is starting to swell up and it might become chomish, tiltish, but sign, and then what she should do is baste it, rub it with cold water. And as we said before, the cold water helps slow down the chimutz process. Well, you can do that also. She can knead it up. And the point is, let's say she has it already rolled out into the shape and whatever that she wants it. She doesn't want to have to take it again and then start rolling it out again. So what she can do is baste it with cold water, and that helps slow down the process. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, the way it works, according to the Chachamim, Losha, when one woman is kneading, he mekatefes, then afterwards she starts basting the dough, which is part of the process of shaping it, b'chaver to losha, and then the second woman starts kneading, tachter, instead of her. Mekatefes, when the second woman is, when the second woman is up to the point of basting the dough, he oifa, the first one goes and bakes, the second one starts taking over basting instead of her, and the third one can start kneading. Oifa, when the third one is baking, he losha, then she can start off kneading a new batch, and the second woman will take over baking instead of her once her matzahs come out of the oven, and then the third one can be basting the dough, and they go in a cycle like that. So each one is doing a different malacha at the same time. The rule is, as long as they're working on the dough, it won't become chametz. Now, the Ritva actually argues and says that the Gemara doesn't mean that you could be working on it all day and it wouldn't become chametz. Eventually, he says, there would come a point where even if you're working on it, it's going to become chametz. So he actually says that, and this is the basis of his opinion is the basis of the chumrah that we have nowadays, that we make sure the whole thing is done inside of 18 minutes. Even if you're working on the dough, eventually, some part of it could become chametz. So because you may not work on all of it at the same time and your hands warm it up and that makes chimutz happen faster. So, okay, maybe not 18 minutes, but at least you can't say that you could work on it kol hayom kol hayom. We talked about the other day, the Riaz learns based on the Yerushalmi that the maximum would be 4 mil. The halacha is not like that. I mean, the halacha is really not like the Ritva. Technically, you can work on it all day and it won't come the day chimutz, but still we try to be machmir and finish the whole thing inside of 18 minutes. We said in the Mishnah Rabbi Akiva Omer Lo Kol HaNoshim B'Chula, that Rabbi Akiva said that not all women are the same, not all wood is the same, etc. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Akiva, Danti Lifnei Rabbi Gamliel. So he says, I discussed this point with Rabbi Gamliel. Yulam Deinu Rabbeinu. Rebbe, tell us, you're saying that you could have three women kneading dough at the same time, and then later on they'll take their turns with the oven. But Benoshim Zrizis, Benoshim Zainer, Shain and Zrizis. Are we talking about women who are Zoris, who are quick to do the work, or not? Be'etzim Lachem, Be'etzim Yibeshim. Are we talking about wetter wood, which is going to take longer to catch on fire, or dry wood? Betanu Chama, Betanu Tzonin. An oven that's already preheated, which is hotter, or a cold oven? Amali, Sarim Gamliel says, you know what? Never mind those kinds of details. All you have to go by is what the Chachamim say, Zaklal, Tofach, Tiltish, Bitsoin, and that if she sees that the dough is about to swell up, then she should baste it with cold water. In other words, Ram Gamliel is saying, don't worry about that level of detail. It's okay for them to take their turns in the oven. However, again, the Chachamim and our Mishnah disagree, and the Halacha is like the Chachamim. Mishnah says, Siur Yisarif, we discussed this the other day, Siur, which is a very early stage of dough becoming chametz, has to be burnt, because it's also Bahana, but if a person eats it on Pesach, then he's potter, because it's not considered full chametz. It's considered, we talked about it at the beginning of the parak, chametz nuksha. It's called incomplete chametz. And we said that's only an Isur Lav. Siduk, Yisarif, on the other hand, dough that has a lot of quacks in it, or that has quacks in it, Yisarif, also has to be burned. If a person eats it, he's Chayiv Karis, because that's full-fledged Chametz. Ezohu Siur, what is the definition of Siur, the first stage? Kakaune Chagovim, when it has a couple of quacks, like little hairline quacks, like the antennas of a locust, like one quack here, one quack there. Siduk, what's considered siduk, would be shinis avur stuck in zebazeh, when the quacks blend one into the other. When you have so many quacks, when they're all over the place, that they're going one into the other. Divir Rabbi Yehuda. The chachamim say, no, zebazeh ha'ochle chayev kares. Either one of those stages, even where it only has the two hairline quacks, already that's full chametz and a person is chayev kares for it. Ve'ezehu seer. Now, we agree there is such a thing as seer, but what is that? Kol sheikh sifu ponav, that's when the surface of the dough turns pale, ka adam sha'amdu sa'aroisav, like when a person's hair stands on end. Now, we learned back on Daf Mem Gimel that Rabbi Yehuda would say that at that point, that which the Chachamim are calling seer, when it turns white, he would say is actually still considered matzah. You would be allowed to eat it on Pesach, d'araisa, you could even use it for the mitzvah of matzah if you bake it. D'rabbanon, you're not allowed to eat it, he would agree, but there'd be no malchus, let alone kares for it. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Ezehu Siur, we learn in a Braisa, similar to our Mishnah. What is Siur? Kol Sheikh Sifu Ponav Ka'adam Sha'amdu Saro. He said, when it turns white, like a person whose hair stands on end, Siduk is Kakane Chagovim. Siduk means when it has a couple of quacks, like the antennas of a locust. Divir Reb Meir, that's what Reb Meir says. So we see that the Chachamim of our Mishnah is Reb Meir. The Chachamim in the Braisa, being Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, they say, Ezehu Siur Kakaune Chagavim. Siur would be like the antennas of locusts. Siduk would be Shinis Avu Stuck and Zebazeh. Would be Siduk would be when the quacks are blending one into the other. That's worse. It means there's more cracks. Not just two instead, you have a whole bunch of. Vizevza Uchli Chayev Kodis and the Chachamim in the Braisa, which is Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, would be saying that either way is Chayev Kodis. What do you mean? The Gemara says, "Va'anan tnan siur yisara for ochli potter divir Rabbi Yehuda." So Rabbi Yehuda says that for eating siur when it has only two quacks, then he's not chayiv kares; it's only an isur lav. The answer is emel. Rabbi Meir zevazah ochli chayiv kares. Okay, what the Braisa means is when it says v'cham oimim that the siduk shnisar v'stokan zevazah. When it says zevazah ochli chayiv kares, it's not continuing with the opinion of the Chachamim; it's going back to the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Reb Meir wants you to know that either of those things, which the Chachamim are telling you, one is Siur and one is Siduk, Reb Meir says, no, both those are considered Siduk, and he's Chayiv Kares for eating it. Omar Rava, my time did Reb Meir. So Rava says, why Taka does Reb Meir say that just two quacks is enough for it to be considered Chometz Gomer? Because Ein L'chokol Sedek V'Sedek Milamayla She'ein L'kama Stokim Milamata, because whenever you have one quack above, you have many, many more quacks underneath that you don't see yet. So therefore, the fact that you have only two above shows that it's already Chometz Gomer inside. And then therefore, that's enough to make him Chayiv Kares. Whereas again, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. The halacha is like Rabbi Meir, because even though in the Braisa we had that was presented as a Das Yochid and Rabbi Yehuda as the Chachamim, but in the Mishnah it was the other way around. Rabbi Meir was presented as the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda as a Das Yochid, and a Mishnah beats a Braisa. Therefore, we pass in like the way that Rabbi put it in the Mishnah, which is that Rabbi Meir is the Chachamim, and therefore that the halacha is like that. So even Hichsifu Ponov, even when the dough turns pale, is already also daraisa. It's just since it's only chametz nuksha at that point, then he's not chayiv kares for eating it. But it'd still be a lav, and he'd still be chayiv malchus for it. Even where it just turns white, right? If you see that it's starting to swell up before it actually turned white, then you can put cold water on it and keep it from. But here we're talking about it already turned white, so then it already turns a second stage, right? So then Rav Meir says that's too late to do anything with it already. Okay.